It's time now for the Bob Siegel Show, a religious open forum where all questions are welcome. The Bob Siegel Show is brought to you in part by on-camera and voiceover talent RodHunter.com and the law offices of Matthew Simone. And now, here's your host, Christian apologist Bob Siegel.
Welcome to the Bob Siegel Show, our theme, Christianity and its relationship to politics or pop culture or anything my guest Jim Barrier wants to talk about. I should say the sky's the limit when he's on. Jim, welcome back to our program.
Hey, it's good to be here. I'm feeling good.
Yeah, we did tell our audience that you had COVID the week that you were out.
I did.
And you were scheduled to be here. And you may not know this because I don't think you heard that show, but I paid a special homage to you that I had to explain. Yes, I did. I played the song Memory from the musical Cats because I knew you hated that song. So I went out of my way to play it on a show when you wouldn't be here and wouldn't have to listen to it. So it was a homage in the sense that you didn't have to hear it. That's how I paid homage to you.
Anything I can get. I appreciate that. And you guys have been riding me hard. Brandon informed me he has a real doozy for me tonight on the Stump Jim Barrier segment, and I haven't been doing well the last few times, so I've got to sharpen up my game.
Well, we'll learn more about COVID. You know, we learn more about COVID all the time, so we'll see what kind of residual effects COVID leaves on your abilities to be stumped or not so stumped.
Well, that's what he said. He said one of the side effects could be memory loss. I said, no, in my case, it's old age.
Well, we did memory loss by playing the song Memory last time. So that was our memory loss there.
Well, and thank you for getting that out of your system. And you know, it's your show. You can play whatever you want. And
I could, but I just thought, you know, Jim's not here to complain about it. And maybe he'll appreciate that I played it on a week that he wasn't here.
That's all right. We do have a little bit of variation in our musical tastes, though we are, you know, really from the same generation. I pretty much more major in, you know, classic rock stuff, and you're more sophisticated. You know more of movie tunes, and of course you're a big movie buff, and so that just makes sense. But so we balance each other out pretty good. I think it's a good arrangement. So.
That we do.
So tonight, I don't know what we want to start with. I wanted to talk a little bit about this situation with Brittany Griner, the WNBA star who's in Russia and been convicted of a crime. I also wanted to take a look at Nancy's visit to Taiwan. I'm sure you have some thoughts on that one. And then if we have time, you know, we've been having elections around the country, and Tuesday was one of those Super Tuesdays where there was a bunch of states voting. And I'd like to kind of look at that, and does it mean anything at all? And so we've got a lot to cover tonight. Why don't we jump into the WNBA?
Okay.
And a few weeks ago, we did a show, and I referred to it as the woke National Basketball Association. Yeah. But this is actually the one where there are female players, and they're really good athletes. They really are. And some of them actually do very well. They don't get paid the money that the men do. And that's because they don't get the ratings on TV or the attendance at the crowd that the men's league does. And so people whine and cry about that and say, well, we need to make it equal. We'll make it equal by putting a product out there that people want to watch.
Well, right now we're making it equal by letting men come out and compete as women. That's how we're making it equal.
Oh, you know, I would like to do a show maybe in a couple of weeks about the death of the women's movement in America.
Yeah.
And the thing,
yeah, exactly.
It's crazy. They're killing it, you know, and I'm not so far as our friend Rush was and referring to people as feminazis. He coined that term, but I have supported women's rights, and we'll talk about that in a couple of weeks, but man, they have just lost it with all of the crazy things they're doing, particularly what you mentioned, allowing men who identify as women to compete in women's sports. It's just nuts. Anyway, let's talk about the situation. Now, Brittany Griner is a superstar. She's one of the best players that that league has ever had. But she was in Russia, and she got caught with marijuana. And actually, I believe it was a vape thing with CBD in it. But she confessed to the charge, drug possession and drug smuggling. And that's, you know, they don't take that lightly in this country. But in Russia, I'm sorry, that didn't turn out well for you, Brittany. But she thought, you know, well, I'll confess, and I'm a big star in America, and they'll have to let me out. They didn't.
Well, now, and if I've been following this story correctly, hasn't she dissed America a lot publicly, but now she expects America to come to her rescue?
Oh, yeah. We're going to get into that. I've got some specifics about that. But she's now sentenced to a 9-year prison term, which if she serves that whole term, and they're not as lenient over there, they don't cut deals, they don't give you good behavior and all of that rot, her career is over.
Boy, and if they make her drink borscht in those Russian prisons, she might as well just curl up and die. That stuff is ghastly.
She was fined 1 million rubles, which is about $16,000, which is not a lot for a superstar like her. But the point of it is, you break the law, there is sanction. There are generally penalties for that. That's been something as long as there's been civilization. And so if it was anybody else, if she was not a star, she was just some kid traveling through Europe and went into Russia and did this, we'd never hear about it, never hear about them, we'd never hear about them again. But she's a star. And so some of our friends, the president, issued a statement calling the trial and subsequent sentence unacceptable.
Well, those are fighting words. And, you know, when Joe Biden says that, they just shaking their boots overseas.
Oh, I'm sure they are. I'm sure they're laughing. And it's not funny. I feel bad for this person that she's going to be in a Russian prison. I don't feel bad that she was stupid enough to do something like this. But Joe is insisting that they turn her loose and let her come back to America.
But didn't we offer some downright thug in exchange for her? How's that negotiation going?
There's been talk, but I'll tell you later what my plan is, that nothing has happened yet. You know how the whole thing works. Putin, they're loving the opportunity to rub our nose in something. And they're not going to be kind. They're not going to be nice to us unless we did something ridiculously unacceptable. As far as turning someone over to them. So I don't know what's going to happen with that. Now, there have been other reactions. I love this. Elon Musk, our rich electronic wizard guy. You know, he's a funny guy. You know, he's the producer of the electric cars. Sooner or later, that's going to come up and bite him in the bumper. You know, but Elon Musk said, well, if the president is working so hard to free someone who is in jail in Russia for some weed, because Elon has admitted that he smoked, shouldn't we free people in America for the same thing?
Well, I thought it pretty much is legal in most states to smoke marijuana these days, isn't it?
Oh, there are thousands of people that are in prison in places where it isn't.
Oh, because it's not legal. And so, what about somebody that got arrested in a state where it since became legal? Do they still have to serve their sentence because they were brought in under a different law?
I don't know. If they get a good enough attorney, they can probably get out. But the fact is, there are people in American jails for possessing, selling, intent to sell. I actually know people who have gone to jail in this country for that. But Elon, being creative, says, well, let's let our people out of jail. You know, I'm sure that's going to really help society. Now, another response, Dinesh D'Souza. Now, we like him. I like him. I think you like him probably.
Oh, I love Dinesh, yeah.
He's using this thing. He said he compared it to the conviction of the January 6th insurrectionists who tried to overthrow the U.S. government. It says it seems like the Russians are doing to Griner what Biden has done to nonviolent January 6th protesters. Hard for us to feign indignation when the same thing is going on here. Whoa. Now, Dinesh has never been one to mince words. That's a pretty astute observation there by our friend. And then of course, Kamala Harris, the vice president,
I'm sure she said something just as witty and as brilliant as is possible.
Yeah, well, maybe at least as much as her partner, Joe.
Or as possible for her.
As brilliant as him. Her issue is not dementia. She's just plain stupid. Am I going to get in trouble for saying that?
Well, Biden was pretty stupid before he got dementia, so he's just got his dementia on top of his stupidity.
Yeah.
I feel sorry about the dementia, but again, the guy's been a pathological liar. I don't have a whole lot of sympathy all around for him.
Not at all. Well, so Tulsi Gabbard, who you are familiar with.
Yeah, a Democrat that occasionally makes sense. Once in a rare moon, you hear that.
So she responded to the vice president's call for Griner's release and said, another note of hypocrisy coming from Kamala Harris and this administration. During her illustrious record as attorney general in California, she kept prisoners in prison longer than their sentences to use them as free slave labor. Yet at the same time, these very same people are condemning other countries for doing the same. Now, you know, that's strong talk. But the fact is, Kamala was not a great attorney general in your state as far as really.
She wasn't. How does somebody even get away with that legally, keeping somebody in prison longer than their sentence demands? How is she even able to swing that?
Red tape, double talk, and politics. And I'm sure money had something to do with it.
Yeah, and since when does the law get in the way of what half of our politicians try to do these days anyway?
No kidding. So here's my thing. Americans are currently imprisoned in North Korea, Iran, China, Mexico, Syria, Venezuela, and several other locations around the planet. What are we doing for those Americans?
Well, they're not celebrities, so we're not worried about them, Jim.
You're kidding. There is a
double standard from the people running this country? Say it isn't so.
Yeah, but these questions need to be asked. I mean, someone needs to go up to Uncle Joe, who's moving kind of slow at the junction.
He'll think they're asking him what kind of succotash he's going to have for lunch.
Well, then, I know. Let's ask the press secretary. You know what she'll say? I have nothing to say about that this time. Become her friend.
Well, that's a little more honest than I'll circle back to you.
Yeah, it's about the same thing, though.
It's more or less the same.
I don't have a clue, so I'm not going to answer. I heard a montage. It just cracked me up, but she said that. She said those words or something like that, that I have nothing to say about this, about 20 times.
And that would make a great montage. Okay, hold with me, Jim. We'll be right back. You're listening to The Bob Siegel Show.
When you trust the care of your children to others, it's comforting to know they share the same Christian values, that what you teach your children at home is also taught in their preschool environment. Wisdom Works Christian Preschool is an all-inclusive preschool where the staff ministers to all children of all abilities, including children with special needs, through a curriculum developed by the owners and designed for the preschool-age child 3 to 5. During these preschool years, your children will make important developmental gains, as well as social and emotional development that'll be the foundation for their overall success in life. Wisdom Works Christian Preschool is a state-licensed, Bible-believing, Bible-teaching preschool. Contact us now at WisdomWorksChristianPreschool.com and secure a space for your preschooler. WisdomWorksChristianPreschool.com or call 619-440-1044. 619-440-1044. Wisdom Works Christian Preschool.
Welcome back to 1170 AM, 96.1 FM, The Answer. I'm your host, Bob Siegel, joined today with my good friend, Jim Barrier. Hey, Jim, I just got a text from my wife, Dana. She says, Jim, sounds great. Now, I think I can explain that. She was probably listening to me, and you know how confusing it can be over the radio. She was probably listening to me and accidentally thought it was you.
Well, you know, I'll take all of those I can get. If I could get my wife to say that I sound great, I might be getting somewhere. But
wouldn't you have to actually listen to the show first to come to that conclusion?
You know, she does not join me on the show. She's either watching something on TV or reading a book or doing something productive with her time. But she does support me. She prays for me before every show. And then when I come out, we debrief and she says, how did it go? And we talk about it. So she is very, very supportive.
I'm sure she is. And I know Dana gives up her hallmarks to listen for 1 hour. So I really appreciate that.
Oh, wow. Wow. Well,
of course, she knows I could come home and tell her the story of the Hallmark without having even watched the Hallmark. So I'm not sure how much is actually being given up here.
Oh man, I'm not gonna go there. She already said that I sound great. I don't want to make her mad. So let's get back to Brittany Griner. I'm going to give a little bit of information about her personal life, her relationships, and then we're going to look at some of her politics and how that's played in her life. So in 2014, she married fellow WNBA star Gloria Johnson. After less than a month, Griner filed for annulment. And that's just to say, you know, there is equality for straight people and gay people. So she filed for annulment of the marriage, but the annulment was denied, and Griner was required to complete 26 weeks of domestic violence counseling. Once again, equal rights. She could beat up her wife just like any male can.
Yeah, we're an equal opportunity country. We believe that gay people can mess up their marriages just as easily as straight people can. That's equality.
Well, and actually, I've done a lot of work. I have a lot of friends. I have gay friends who are married, and they have problems just like a straight couple. And in fact, and this is pretty well documented, but codependency is even more of a severe problem in the gay community. It won't get into that tonight, and I've already probably made some people mad by saying that, but it's true.
Oh, of course you have.
So she filed annulment. It was denied, and she had to do 26 weeks of violence counseling. I'm not sure what that is. They teach you martial arts. I'm not sure what violence counseling is.
If you're the one that's being violent, they say now violence is wrong.
They both were. Actually, the police were called, both of them. They were fighting. But she's the bigger star, so she got charged. Now, in the next year, Johnson, her wife, announced that she was pregnant with twins through in vitro fertilization. She gave birth to twin girls 16 weeks premature. Again, that might have been a big story if they were just a straight couple. People would say, well, they endangered the wife, they endangered the babies. But she had the babies, and then they divorced in 2016. So a typical American family.
Yeah,
Griner was ordered
to
pay child support. She was ordered to pay child support because she was a higher paid player. She made more money. And of course, Johnson, you know, had children, so she quit working. And anyway, Griner had to pay child support. They got divorced, and then she later married Cheryl Watson. Don't know how long she stayed with her, but they may still be together. But she's been married twice, and she's had some problems domestically. And again, equal rights, just like any American couple or individual certainly can have problems, and she has had her share. Now, politically, in 2017, Griner took a stand with a fellow player, LaShia Clarendon, and they wrote an op-ed article against a bill here in my state, Texas, that would have limited the rights of members of LGBTQ, LMNOP community to use restrooms and other public facilities of their choice. And the two basketball players saw the bill as a particular threat to LGBTQ athletes who could have been forced to use a locker room inconsistent with their chosen gender identity.
So instead, in the name of women's rights, we have to make women undress in a room where some man is calling himself a woman.
Yeah, it's kind of crazy. But, that, you know, and I see two sides of the thing. You know, I think, I don't know if I want to be in a locker room with a gay man who finds me attractive and is staring at me. So that would be uncomfortable, too. It's a big problem. So maybe we need to have three rooms or four rooms. I don't know. So this is their statement. Well, we do not identify as transgender, We know what it feels like to be singled out for not fitting neatly into social norms. Okay. I suppose you could take that to an argument of absurdum. You could say, what about the child molester who has a propensity and is attracted to young children sexually? And should they not have their rights?
That's coming up next. Pedophiles are lobbying for their rights, so that's not so far-fetched or out there.
No, it's not. We're on the slippery slope. And now in 2020, following the George Floyd incident, which got way more attention than I wish it had, but, you know, it was a bad thing. Guy got killed. But there were so many things that the media did not talk about in that. But so Griner said she would be protesting the playing of the national anthem before games by remaining in the locker room. And she said, I honestly feel we should not play the national anthem during our season. I think we should take such a stand as that. So you see, Brittany Griner is a model American citizen. That is a model being defined as a small imitation of the real thing. This is the person they're propping up there and making her a hero, heroine. I don't know what you say to her. They're trying to make her admirable, and they're feeling sorry for breaking the law in a foreign country. And her life hasn't been exemplary. Now, having said all of that, and I hope no harm comes to her. I'm sorry that she made a dumb mistake, but she's paying the price. Beretta said, if you can't do the time, don't do the crime.
Well, and I would still say that's probably an obsessive penalty in Russia. And she may not deserve to call upon her country to help her after she puts down her country all the time. But at the same token, what's happening to her in Russia shouldn't be happening to her. And I say we do what we can to let her out. And I don't want to see us release some thug terrorist in exchange. I think there's got to be a better way than that.
I have a better solution. We will trade
Kamala,
LeBron James, and a player to be named later for Brittany Griner, and then it'll be China's problem.
There you go.
Okay. That's all I have to say about the Brittany Griner situation.
Maybe we can throw in a year's subscription to Variety magazine with it.
Yeah. It's crazy that the news has become like the old tabloids. What was it? The National Enquirer had about as much integrity as much as mainstream media does.
National Enquirer couldn't say anything that we don't see all over the mainstream media these days.
Yeah. Personally, I always took my stand with Mad Magazine.
I loved Mad Magazine. Is that still around, or has it gone woke with everything else?
Yeah, no, it's still an organization.
Is it still funny? Do they take daring shots, or do they just get PC on us?
No, they have had to tone down some things. I remember some of the articles, some of the things that they did way back in the day that now they would. They'd get defunded, they'd get the plug pulled, something would happen, they'd get censored. But one of the things I loved about Mad Magazine, one, it was just plain silly, and it kind of helped shape some of my sense of humor. But there were no sponsors. There were commercials, but they were not real commercials. They were fake like everything else in the magazine, but they didn't have any advertising. And I thought that was a pretty cool thing to publish that thing and sell as many magazines as they did. And of course, first ones I ever saw said 5 cents, our price, cheap. And of course, that just kept going up and up and up and up and up. We'll talk about inflation.
And they always had satires of our favorite TV shows when we were growing up as kids.
Oh, they always did. They did a great job.
I remember when Star Trek came out, they were doing an imitation of Star Trek, and Captain Kirk was going to jettison somebody out in space, and Mr. Spock says, "You would be so cruel, Captain. I don't believe my ears." And he said, "I don't believe your ears either, Mr. Spock." It was lines like that.
I remember they did a spoof on Star Wars.
Oh, and I never saw that one.
Oh, it was good. It was The Empire Strikes Out. And there's the scene when Luke is with Obi-Wan, and he's talking to the stormtrooper, and he says, "These aren't the droids you're looking for. He can go his way." And the stormtrooper says, "These aren't the droids we're looking for. You can go your way." And Luke said, "How did you do that?" And Obi-Wan says, "The Force can be very powerful over the weak-minded." And Luke says, "The Force can be very powerful over the weak-minded."
That's great.
I don't know how I can remember stuff like that.
Yeah, maybe, amazing the things we remember as we get older. All right, hold with me, Jim, for another segment. You're listening to The Bob Siegel Show with guest Jim Barrier.
This is Bob Siegel. With the wiring in your home, you don't want to mess around with some unknown electrician. For all you know, he may have gotten his license by sending in 3 serial box tops.
Hey, these things happen. There's nothing wrong with my wiring. Houses burn down. You wanted a guarantee? You should have ordered the deluxe package.
Folks, play it smart. Call WNS Electric Incorporated. They specialize in contracting and repair. From troubleshooting to remodeling to circuit breakers and fuses, WNS takes a skilled but personal interest in your home at affordable rates. I use them myself, and I wouldn't call anyone else. Call 619-447-8785. That's 447-8785 for WNS Electric, license number 480539. WNS Electric.
Is it really true that there will be peace in the Middle East if we just have a two-state solution? Or are some people instead challenging Israel's right to exist at all? Is it true that Jews have no historical claim to the Holy Land and stole that land from a people called the Palestinians? Bob Siegel's latest book challenges the historical revision of the Israeli-Palestinian situation and shows how Israel's struggle may soon be the struggle of the entire world. The Holocaust Against Israel by Bob Siegel, available on Amazon.com and BarnesandNoble.com.
Welcome back to the Bob Siegel Show. I'm joined by Jim Barrier. And speaking of Jim Barrier, it's time once again for another episode of Stump Jim Barrier.
Howdy, buddy.
Oh, that was a smaller applause than last time, wasn't it?
Oh, I'm not sure. I just tried.
I think that was the putting green on the golf
that's
course
right,
applause.
That's right. Good job, Tiger.
Because I haven't been doing well on this part of the show lately. So, okay. What do you got?
All righty. So we're going to go to the year 1971 for this one. And this is from an artist who has said before that he's written songs about his religion. But this one is a little bit more towards his religion. And this was a top 10 hit, actually. So here we go.
Oh my. Okay. Oh, well, there you go.
You know it already?
I know what this is. I do. It's Tommy James and the Shondells dragging the line.
Dang.
Is that right?
He got it so quickly.
All right, but let's hear some of it.
Let's play it, yeah.
That last twang there sounds a little Mamas and Papas, the little 60s.
Well, it is. It's that era. Now,
all right. Well, you got that pretty quickly, okay. Jim. We'll have to give you a little more applause next week.
I will do that.
I like that song. I like it more than Crimson and Clover and some of their other stuff.
Oh, I hated Crimson and Clover.
Me too.
Song made me nauseous. Crimson and Clover. I hated it.
And they followed that up with Crystal Blues Persuasion. But here's a little trivia about that song, Dragging the Line. Do you remember a group called the Dave Clark Five?
Oh, yeah.
Flat All Over Bits and Pieces. One of my favorite British invasion bands. And he had a great singer, Mike Smith. Well, when they kind of fell out of the scene, they tried to come back, and they did an album. The album was called Dave Clark and Friends. Mike Smith was the total talent in that band, by the way. Well, they did that song. They covered Dragon the Line, and they also did some, they did Neil Young song, Southern Man, and they tried to be hip, and they did some of that early 70s stuff, and actually did a great job. They were a great cover band, but they didn't have much success. So there you go, Tommy James and the Shondells. Wasn't that fun, kids? All right. Thank you. I feel better now that I got a win on the contest.
So you didn't do so bad from the COVID after all. It actually helped.
Well, maybe so. About the COVID thing, it wasn't in my notes to talk about this, but it was a shock to me that I got it. I guess I felt like that I was immune or not going to get it or something.
After 2.5 years, you probably thought you were never going to get it.
I did. I really thought that. But, you know, what it really was, I was just fatigued for a couple of weeks and, you know, coughing and stuff. There was nothing you could really do for it. Drank a lot of liquids and I used a lot of cough drops and a lot of Kleenex. I'm pretty much over it now, I suppose. And I don't know. It's so hard to discern the statistics about this thing. I don't know what to believe anymore. But I did have it and I survived it. I'm thankful to God that that's over with. So how about the adventures of Nancy in Taiwan?
Yeah, what did you make of all that? I think it was the first time I ever agreed. I don't know what her motives were, what she thought she was going to accomplish by going there in the first place. But once the Chinese government threatened her if she went, I thought at that point she needed to go. And I was pleasantly surprised that she did it. I was not surprised that the Biden administration was against her going, because the Biden administration is beholden to China. It just pains me, ladies and gentlemen, but I must say I'm glad Nancy Pelosi did something. I think that's the first time in my history of talking about her on the air that I've said that.
Well, and I'm going to give you a little
But I'll give credit where credit is due.
That's right. We always do. Now, the last time somebody at that level of government went was Newt Gingrich, who I always liked. I always liked Newt. But he was under the Clinton administration, and he was the Speaker of the House, and he went to China. First he visited China, then went to Taiwan. He said that the Chinese were outraged that he planned to visit Taiwan. They threatened to withdraw his invitation to China. And Newt said, well, if you do that, then I'll just make a longer visit to Taiwan. At that point, the Chinese government backed down. He said, we settled with a face-saving compromise. I would go to Taiwan, but not directly from the China mainland. So we flew to Japan first. Newt was pretty sharp. I did like it. He knew he was doing so.
Well, and that's the thing is bullies do back down when you stand up to them. And that goes for bully countries as well as the bully on the playground.
Yeah. Well, and that's what he did. He said, we understand that in principle, you will not renounce the right to use force. But we want you to understand, we will defend Taiwan, period. Now, when Newt said that, I had more of a tendency to believe him than the current president who has tried to hint similar things. Now, this time, China is not on Pelosi's itinerary. She, in addition to Taiwan, she's going to Singapore, Malaysia, South Korea, Japan. And Biden did not want her to go. But he has said multiple times that the United States will defend Taiwan if attacked by China.
I don't believe he would do that for a second.
If push comes to shove, I don't think he would stand up to them. It's the same thing as Russia. He's a mockery, and our enemies are no longer afraid of us, because the guy doesn't have a backbone, and because he just flip-flops and he'll go to the highest bidder. And so,
well, and he's always been wishy-washy anyway, but they have some goods on him and Hunter in China, so you've got that element added on top of this.
Oh, certainly. And I think there's also an issue that he doesn't want China to offer aid to Russia in the war in the Ukraine. So he's juggling a whole lot of things. He's really outmatched right now. But I don't think that he has what it takes to stand up to China.
You know, Jim, Joe would have been a fun person to play Risk with. That would have been a lot of fun.
We'll do a whole show about him pretty soon. So Nancy has history with China. In 1991, 2 years after the protests in Beijing were crushed, remember the Tiananmen Square thing? And she went there and snuck out a banner honoring the deceased demonstrators. That didn't go over too well. The Chinese government has made no secret of its disdain for Pelosi, labeling her full of lies and disinformation. I got to say, I agree with China.
Yeah, this is a hard one, because I think she did have a right to go to Taiwan. But then when they say that about her, I'm forced to agree. Yeah. So it's a real toughie tonight.
They don't like her.
And then who does?
She opposed China's bid to host the Olympic Games in 1993 on the basis of, and we've talked about this issue, the alleged human rights abuses. She was also one of the lawmakers who urged Bush to boycott China's Summer Olympics in 2008. This time, she in 22, She led for calls, remember, the diplomatic boycott. So we're not going to send any important people.
Has she called on our sports teams and Hollywood movies to stop doing business with China? Has she done that?
No. But she has protested over the treatment of the Uyghur Muslims in China. We talked about that a few weeks ago. And on this one, I got to agree with Nancy. There are human rights violations in that country, and she has taken a stand about that. So here you go. On this show tonight, folks, I agreed with China, and I agreed with Nancy Pelosi.
What they say. Even a broken clock is right twice a day. So I guess that's going to happen with Nancy, too.
Oh, man, that's up there with give a chimpanzee a typewriter.
Sooner or later he types a word, yes.
Yeah. Now, I remember Nancy Pelosi in Chinatown in San Francisco, which, you know, Trump said she was dancing in the streets. I don't think she was literally dancing, but she went there, and this was in February of 2020 when Trump was still president. And she said,
right, when he was restricting travel from China, so they needed to walk around and show everybody there was nothing to worry about. And then later on, they're criticizing Trump because he doesn't want to do all the lockdowns.
Yeah, well, she flip-flopped as soon as the election was over. Because in 2020, Fauci had not come into full power. So when Biden took over and Fauci became so prominent in our everyday experience and the CDC and WHO and all of the rest of the stuff, but she's gone over to the other side. And so, you know, now she'll kneel down and wear a mask and do all the stuff.
Okay, we'll talk more about this when we come back for one more segment. You're listening to The Bob Siegel Show.
Bob Siegel not only writes fiction, but nonfiction as well. Over the years, Bob has received wonderful comments about his book on Christian apologetics entitled, I'd Like to Believe in Jesus, But... Many have put this book in the hands of their seeking, unbelieving friends, and the book takes it from there. This is because the book has a rhetorical skeptic that argues with Bob about the harder, less frequently discussed questions. As a result, the reader is immediately aware that they are reading from an author who relates to them. The moment they find themselves questioning something they see, their very question appears in the text. Every question in this book was one that was personally put to Bob during his many years of speaking on college campuses. I'd Like to Believe in Jesus, But... Available on Amazon.com and BarnesandNoble.com.
Welcome back to 1170 AM, 96.1 FM, The Answer. Jim, we're down to our last segment.
It just flies by. Time flies when you're having fun.
Yes, it does.
I always have fun on this show.
Well, we always have fun having you.
This last segment, we had a Super Tuesday this past week, and there were at least in five states, there were very important elections, Michigan, Missouri, Arizona, Washington, Kansas. And so I want to talk about some of those election results and then the CPAC thing we just had here in Texas and what they indicate. But first, I have to say this. Inflation Reduction Act.
Yeah.
That's what he called it. That's what Biden called it.
It's got to be the most well-titled, accurate title for a bill I've ever heard. They're going to bring down inflation with that bill?
You know, Biden is rewriting the dictionary. You know, raising taxes will not reduce inflation in any way, shape, or form. It's just, it's simple arithmetic. But anyway, that's what he's spitting. There was a guy of his party years ago that ran on this platform. It's the economy, stupid. And then I think...
And then he moved to the center after the Republicans took Congress back, something I don't think we'll ever see Biden do.
No. He doesn't know where the center is. He has lost.
Well, we're probably going to take the Congress back this November, but the people around him are going to say, now you just sit down and shut up and we'll tell you what you're going to do.
Well, they've pretty much been doing that. But yeah, I think it's going to be devastating for them. Now, these primaries, what was significant was the presence of Donald Trump and his influence. Several of the candidates that he endorsed won, and then there were three GOP House members who were fighting for their political lives because they voted to impeach Trump over the January 6th thing.
And I hope they get primaried right out of there. They deserve it.
Yeah, it's very likely. But Trump's influence is alive and well. And we made jokes for a long time about, you know, Trump is living rent-free in the liberals' heads.
Yes.
But guess what? He's still there in the conservatives' mind. Yeah. He's there. And
he has a penthouse in the conservatives' minds.
Well, you know, okay, here's the deal. We just had the CPAC. That's the Conservative Political Action Conference. I hate all these anagrams. Anyway, in Texas here, now keep in mind, Texas is a conservative state, at least for now. And Trump captured 69% of the ballots in the anonymous online straw poll, which doesn't mean a lot, but I mean, he's old and he's got 69% of the CPAC and he's hinting about running in 2024. And if he keeps getting these strong showings, it's going to embolden him.
Now, it may just happen if the Democrats don't figure out a way to put him in jail first, which they're trying desperately to do.
And if I can,
or something.
Yeah, go ahead, Brendan.
I was just going to say, if you look at second place, he's only at 20%. So that's a huge difference between the gap between Trump and...
Yeah, it's enormous, mm-hmm. enormous. And now I have been vocal about it. I like what he did as president as far as his policy. I like what he did for the economy. Oh, how much is gasoline per gallon where you live, Bob?
Actually, it's going down a little bit. But here's the kicker. Biden is taking credit for it going down. But when it was going up, he kept insisting that as president, there was nothing he can do about gas prices.
So you have
to follow this brilliant logic. When it goes down, he is 100% responsible. When it goes up, golly gee, jumping Jiminy, nothing we can do.
Yeah, the problem is, even though it has gone down, it's still way higher than it was when he took over.
Oh, of course. It's about, I just saw one today that was like $4.99, but compared to almost $7, that's looking good. But still, you have to compare that to what it was 5 years ago.
He does the same thing with unemployment. He says, so we've created a lot of jobs. Well, you ended a lot of jobs.
Yeah, you ended a lot of jobs. Those people got new jobs, so you created a lot of jobs. Yeah. This isn't exactly rocket science.
What do they say? Figures never lie, but liars always figure. it's just silly. But the reality is Trump is very, very strong right now. I like this stuff. He made the economy strong. He made us completely independent on oil, and he was strengthening the border. And our enemies had respect for us, where there is none currently.
Of course, Joe Biden will be an easy act to follow for anybody. Howdy doody could get in after Joe Biden.
Well, who knows what the Democrats will come up with? I don't know. And I was just talking...
Probably Gavin Newsom, if you ask me.
Oh, my gosh. I was just talking to a friend of mine who lives in Austin, and which is a very liberal city in a very conservative state. And he said, I don't think we'll ever have another fair election again. And he came up with something brilliant. He lives in Austin, so he has a lot of liberal friends. And they'll say, well, do you think that the election was stolen? And he said, listen to this. I think Biden stole the primaries from Bernie. Bernie was hugely popular, and he says, I don't think that Biden won the primaries. I think he stole it from Bernie Sanders. And they go, oh, yeah, you're right. And he says, so if he stole it with his own party, why do you think he couldn't steal it on the big election? And
the very idea that that bumbling baboon going and campaigning from his basement could have beat out Donald Trump, that alone should be enough for people to know the election was fixed.
I know, but you know, we're not talking about people that are rational or logical in most of these things. But so the question I have, and you said that you think that we'll take back the House and Senate possibly.
I think we probably will,
Will it be a red wave? Will it be overwhelming? Will it be sweeping?
If it's a fair election, it'll be overwhelming and sweeping. And some of those places have done election reform. So there'll be some cheating, and there'll be some places that we might not get because of cheating. But I do think we will still have this red wave. I'll go on record as predicting that. And so are a lot of other people. I don't think I'm alone in this.
Yeah, I'm hopeful that they will take back both chambers, but it'll be very, very narrow if they do. I hope that they do, because then at least for the following 2 years, they can keep things in check. I'm afraid that so much damage has been done, it's going to take a long, long time.
Yeah, well, Republicans do a better job when they have Congress and fight the Democratic president. It's only when they have all three branches that they sell us down the river. I think it'll be a landslide in the House. I do agree that it will probably be much closer in the Senate. But between the two of them, I think we will have that red wave. Well, Jim, it's always a pleasure having you. I'm so glad, my friend, that you're feeling better. COVID is not fun. I had it once myself. Not a lot of fun.
Yeah.
And I'm very grateful. You sound like your old self again, and we'll have you on again in 2 weeks.
2 weeks. We'll be here.
All right. And Brendan will be here to stump you once again. All right. This is Bob Siegel. We'll see you next time.
The Bob Siegel Show is brought to you in part by the Law Offices of Matthew Simone.